When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is January 3rd, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. Well, welcome to the first Bruins Beat of 2019 here on CLNS Media. Great to have you for another year. A good 2018, and looking forward to an even better 2019 here. And we're going to kick things off in style. We're going to bring back one of your favorite Bruins, former Bruins center, Mark Savard, joining me here on the first Bruins Beat of 2019. Savvy, Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, buddy.
How was the 2018 to you, and what are you looking ahead to in 2019?
Well, it was a great year. We had a lot of fun, and you know, family's good, everybody, and I'm healthy, so everything's been good that way. Looking for a couple new things. You know, I'm getting into the broadcasting world, doing a little bit of TV lately, so we'll see where that takes me. And I got a son coming up for the OHL draft, so that'll be fun too. So wow. We got some exciting times ahead.
Nice, my man. That's good news. That's exciting. And let's before we get into some Bruins stuff, let's talk about that broadcasting stuff you've been doing. You know, you're doing some radio and TV for Sportsnet on Hockey Central. You've done some ice surfing episodes with Jeff Marek. And, I mean, I know you're something, you know, we talked about many moons ago when you left the game you're interested in maybe doing. But now to actually be doing it and really getting some regular work, what's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's kind of all taken off. I didn't have big aspirations in doing it. And then I did a couple of Hockey Centrals last year at noon, and it just kind of blew up from there. And I ended up doing Leafs radio pre- and post-game with Gord Stellick on Sportsnet, the Fan 590. And that kind of escalated to some Hockey Central, and I did a couple games recently, two of them. And it's been a great learning curve, and you know, I got some ice surfing coming up, like you said, with Jeff Marek, so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm really enjoying it. It's a different look at things. I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it. Like I said, I like to do some color maybe in the future. And I still have my hands on guys. So coaching's still at the top of my list. So we'll see what happens.
And are you still currently coaching any teams right now?
No, so I'm not. Yeah, I couldn't do it this year with going up to Toronto every other day because I'm still living in the Peterborough area. So
okay. It's
a little bit of a hike. But, yeah, so I'm not coaching this year, no.
Now, ice surfing, I've seen you on it, and I think you're a good fit for it there. And, even if you hadn't been on yet, that would be something I might suggest to you that I think you'd succeed at. And, you know, working with a guy like Jeff Marek, too, I mean, he's easy to work with. Huh? I mean, it's you feel like every time I'm on with him, every time I've ever had him on the radio show, it just felt like we were kind of shooting the breeze, sitting in a pub, you know, throwing a few back. I mean, is that what it's like for you when you work with him?
Yeah, it's very easy. You know, he tees up all the questions and makes my life a lot easier. And those guys are nice to work with, like Gord Stellick too, who I work with on the Leafs radio, who's been fantastic. So yeah, those guys are great. I'm looking forward to those ice surfings and maybe doing more with Jeff down the road.
Yeah, it should be good, man. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that for sure. And of course, the Hockey Canada, they had the Winter Classic down here. I got to watch them on NBC in the States, but just your impression of the latest Winter Classic, Savvy, between the Bruins and the Blackhawks here at Notre Dame Stadium. You know, I know there's a lot of criticism, still is, even after the game, but, you know, they're overdoing it with the outdoor games, and it's lost its allure. I don't know, Savvy, I don't know if you agree with me. I thought they won some of that back with this one. I really felt like this one hit a home run, so to speak, or scored a touchdown, which I guess would be the proper term to say there. And they just, I felt like it hit home, and it really brought the viewer back into it.
Yeah, I did too. I kind of liked how they just stuck with one this year. Did a great job. Notre Dame.
Another one. They're doing Philly Pitt, unfortunately, in March. But
okay, well, yeah, that's not too bad. Better than those, you know, they had like six or seven recently. Yeah. But I think sticking to this big one at Notre Dame was a great setting. a lot of history out there, obviously, and both teams had a, you know, two great teams to have in, and I know Chicago's not having the year they want to, but just the name, the Blackhawks and the Bruins, just, it was a real classic, and I love the jerseys on both sides, and it was just a great game, too, to watch. You know, there were scoring chances at both ends. It was exciting. You know, there were some hits, and it was just a good hockey game to be a fan, and they did a nice job on NBC, like you said.
Yeah, you know, and that's, I think that's all anyone wants, really, is a good game. And, of course, you know, you're braving the elements. You're taking a chance every time you do this that could affect the game and the quality of the game. But I just love – I mean, I – you know, Patrice Bergeron was talking to, I forget who it was, Jackie Redmond maybe from NHL Network after, you know, and she said, what do you take away from this experience? And he's, look, it's a huge game. And the fact that we got embarrassed in the last one we were in, you know, that kind of left a bad taste in our mouth, and we wanted to come out and get redemption. And I'm thinking for all those people out there, those critics that say this game's just another 2 points, it doesn't mean anything to the players and it's a joke, bullshit. Like, I think that game right there from both sides, the way both players, both teams played, and also just the fun they were having at the same time, I think it means a whole lot more than just a 2-point game. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it was an intense game, that's for sure. You really want to win. You know, and I think both teams, you know, showed that. They were grinding. They were into it. The celebrations were great after the goals. The fans seemed to be right into it. All the jerseys you can see in the background. It was just a great setting, and I'm sure something those guys will never forget. A lot of guys don't get to play in them ever in their career. I was fortunate to play in the one in Boston at Fenway, which was phenomenal. But from what I'm hearing from the guys, that setting was the best they've played in.
Yeah, that's what it seems like from everyone that's talking about it. And, yeah, you bring up that one in Fenway too, Savvy. And I just, you know, I remember just the look you guys had after that, when interviewing you guys in the dressing room or clubhouse, whatever they call it, in the baseball field, you know, after the game, and just you just had that feel like it was almost like a playoff win. And of course, Marco Sturm scored the winner there in overtime for you guys.
Taking it as Bergeron, nicely able to step away. Wrong one, but they score! That's the guy who got it, Marco Sturm. He was positioned at the front. There it is. And the Bruins have won in overtime.
I think, did you tie it up in that game?
I didn't know, but we did tie it up. Yeah, we tied it up, and then we won it. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then we won it in overtime. So
yeah, that was great, man. That was such a good memory. And so yeah, it's just, I don't know, just even as media, it's an experience, and I think they should keep going. They're going to be in Dallas next year. I know that's going to get a lot of critique, being that it's kind of a warm city. But they got to, sooner or later, they had to expand to some of these warmer climates, you know, with all the new teams they're adding. But hey, speaking of the Dallas Stars, and I know we're putting off the beat track, we'll get right into it in a second, but speaking of the Dallas Stars, and it's kind of connected to the Bruins, what were your thoughts on CEO Jim Leitz coming out and ripping Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and that whole situation, where it might go?
Yeah, it really made no sense to me. I don't know who benefited from any of that. You know, I like Jamie Benn's comments the following day that, they, you know, if he has any issues, he'd deal with it in-house, and I kind of felt like that's where they should have did it, and it was a little unfair, and I'm sure it caught those guys off guard, but it just makes things awkward now around there for, you know, your two star players that are going to be there for many a years, at least we think, or maybe now they shot them. It just seems like something that didn't need to happen. Now it's a very uncomfortable situation for everybody involved.
Well, it's interesting, right? I mean, I'm going to show my age here a bit, but I mean, I know we're not that different off in age, and you know, you remember the day like George Steinbrenner back in with the Yankees, and like that's something you see. We don't see that anymore. We haven't seen that in a while in sports, and it did. It caught everyone off guard there. But the interesting thing I think there, you know, and I look in here, I don't know enough about what's going on with Ben. I don't talk to him all the time, but I did get to cover Tyler Seguin. I do know a lot of guys that play with him, and it just seems like, look, yeah, he puts up the points all the time, right? And no one's going to argue that. His stats are great. He's a phenomenal player. He's one of those rare talents you're going to get, and that's why he went second overall, Savvy, and you got to play with him for a bit. But just from everything I knew from him this year to then, and it just seems like there's something missing there. And I don't know whether it's he hasn't matured or what it is, but I kind of see the frustration that Leitz had. I'm not saying he should have done what he did, but I see the frustration he had. and we know that there's been that frustration around Sagan for a while. What do you think it is with him that he's still missing there? And maybe you don't see that. Maybe I'm way off. I mean, what is it about Tyler Sagan right now that's
important? Yeah, well, you know, I think the maturity thing might be one thing. This kid, you know, he left home at 18, or, you know, well, younger than that, because he went to Detroit to play junior hockey as well. So really, he's been out of the house since he's 15, and growing up on your own, having free reigns, it's a different thing. It's a different life, and you know, some guys adjust quicker than others. And maybe, I think you're right, might be on that. He's still a little immature for his age, but still a great kid. Anybody that's around him enjoys time with him. But yeah, maybe that's one thing that slowed him down. But still, like you said, he puts up the stats every single year. He contributes, you know, on the scoreboard every night. So, and his plus minus is generally very good. So I think it's more than just him in there. It's, you know, it's a team thing. And as a team grows, they're a young team, I think they'll get better. And I think he's going to be a big part of that still.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You talk about, you know, how young he was when he came to the NHL there. And, you know, I remember a couple people telling me with the Bruins that they had tried to get him up in like sort of a billet home, right, with one of the older players or somebody within the organization. And he didn't want to do it. And maybe what I heard is wrong, I don't know. But you always look back at some of the guys who did do that and how much it helped them. And look, Patrice Bergeron's on a whole nother level, but I just remember when he lived with Marty Lapointe, how much he grew as a person and a player, and the values he got and the learning from that. I always thought maybe that was something that could have helped Sagan in the beginning, and who knows where he is now, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with him more. I think it's so beneficial for these guys. I think even when Kess came there his first year, they put him with a family as well. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's you know, it helps. It helps their comfort level. It helps kind of keep them at home instead of being out every night. And just having that family atmosphere like Bergeron was able to do with Little Point. So yeah, I think it goes leaps and bounds for these kids coming in. Nowadays it's a different thing. But a lot of these guys in Toronto, they got a young team, and I'm noticing, like, you know, families are up more, their mothers are up more spending time with them, which is, I think, a great thing.
And who was living with Marlo on that team? Was it Mar?
It seems like every young guy's living with Marlo. They just go over there for dinners and everything. Yeah, he has the whole crew over. But a lot of Matthews and Marner for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, let's get in right into some Bruins here, because I know our listeners want to hear about that and get your take on that. And look, it's been an injury plague season for the Bruins, and they're not using it as an excuse by any means, but. You know, inside, I wouldn't blame them if they are in their heads, because they have a right to it. They've had some really obviously tough injuries and situations when it comes to health. Charlie McAvoy's still battling something else now. And somehow, though, you know, they've stayed afloat. And they're not – I think Tampa is going to sort of pull away from the pack here. But, you know, the Bruins are still in the mix there for that second spot in the Atlantic, and then battling with Toronto and Buffalo and, you know, even the Canadiens have been there a little. But – I think, to me, it's a really good reflection on the job Bruce Cassidy's done thus far this year. I know he's a finalist last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the running for the Jack Adams again.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to Bruce. He's done a fabulous job since he's come in from Claude. More of a player's coach to me, he seems like, and the boys have just taken off. And you know what's been amazing about this whole thing? The injury situation has given these other guys opportunities earlier than later, and they've really blossomed, and you're able to see what your organization has. But, you know, coming to the trade deadline, you know, Don Sweeney's made a couple moves in the past. He's not scared to. I think with Cam Neely around there too, he likes to make some moves, and we'll see what happens. But there's a couple guys, there's some couple good names out on that list this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins dip in there again to get someone on the Krejci line. You know, Krejci's been having a good season, even though, you know, DeBrusk is a great player, but they haven't really found a guy on that other side. And, you know, I know Rick Nash came in and played some decent hockey. So it'll be interesting to see what they do come down to the deadline. But I like that they've done. It's amazing with all the injury they've had over a couple of years, actually. They've been able to challenge every year.
Yeah, it is, man. And then, of course, it's just insane what Patrice Bergeron does immediately when he gets back in. He had, like, a 4-point night against Nashville the first game back. And then I mean, that play he made in the Winter Classic, Savvy, like, you know, Berge, I mean.
What a sequence for Patrice Bergeron. Remember the breakaway for Camp. Bergeron comes hustling back. Pasternak with a turnover, and what an effort by Bergeron earlier in the sequence. Later in the sequence, he scores on the back end.
You know, the rest of the world's probably like, wow. But when you watch him every day, you're just like, oh, well, you know, that's what he does, right? I mean, it's unreal.
Exactly. I mean, he's really came into his own. He's been a great two-way player his whole career, and he continues to grow. And I like since I've been out of the game, you know, his offensive numbers weren't always there, but now he's starting to become this offensive dynamo along with his defense and really making himself one of the best players in all of hockey.
For sure. And then between the pipes in that Winter Classic, and I thought it was huge. A lot of people thought I was overreacting on Twitter when I said this was a huge statement game for Tuukka Rask. And I had said before the game, if it goes the wrong way, it's not going to be good for the future of him here. And people kind of thought it was nuts. But if you're around Boston, Savvy, I don't know how much you pay attention. I mean, this guy has become, you know, the ultimate scapegoat here in Boston. And just even mainstream sports media and mainstream sports fans taking shots at him all the time. It doesn't matter what he does. He just can't seem to win here. So I just felt like on the big stage there, that was his chance to sort of shut everyone up and also just give the Bruins, his teammates, the faith that, you know what, Tuukka's still our guy. Did you think he took it that way? Did you think he achieved that?
Well, the first thing I did after that game is I wrote my buddy Matt Falker, who is the Bruins assistant equipment guy, and I told him right away to tell Tuukka. I mean, if there's any – he made some huge key saves in that game.
Here comes Kane down the middle. Save! Rask stops Kane on a breakaway.
Yeah, exactly. Big game saves. So it was nice to see. And I think that was a good situation for Bruce Cassidy to throw him into to see how he'd do under the big, you know, the big spotlight, under the gun. And he reacted fantastic because we all know that Halak's put some heat on him this year. And I think that's a good thing. I think Tuukka needs a push, and I think this is all setting up for good for the playoffs to have him behind him, knowing that if he falters at all, there's another guy waiting in the wings. So I think this is all a good situation. I think Tuukka's going to benefit from it because I still believe he's a great goalie and he's a great person, and the guys really like him inside that locker room.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of been a trying year from Tuukka, took a leave of absence there, and then, you know, he's battled injury a little here and there. So I just felt like I know, and like it goes back to what we were saying, where the Winter Classic is a bit bigger than just a regular 2 points. And I think you're right. You made a great point there. I didn't even think about it. Yeah, give credit to Cassidy, too, for kind of sensing that and seizing that opportunity to, you know, maybe he's looking at it and being like, I got to save this guy right now, you know, because we think we can get him. We believe in him, but he might not be there right now. And he gave him the start in Buffalo, and then he goes there, so – great move by Cassidy. Looking forward, I mean, you mentioned before I let you go here, Savvy, you like what they might be able to do at the trade deadline. Is there a guy out there that you would like to see on Krejci's line there that comes off the top of your head?
Well, the big one for me would be, you know, Panarin. If something happens in Columbus where they let one of them go, whether it's Bobrovsky or Panarin, and I mean, I'd love to see Panarin there. I mean, I know he's going to cost some money. It's something they would have to sign before, you know, agreeing on a trade, but he'd be my first bet. But, you know, there's some other guys around the league that could fill the void, you know, if they're just trying to make a run short term. Yeah. But, I mean, Panarin's the one that sticks out to me the most, and I think the Bruins have the depth in the organization to do something like that.
They do.
You know, with their young defensemen and the kids that have come up and played well. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you got some guys that maybe you can – toss in like a Bjork or whatever in the minors, or one of your younger defensemen. So it'll be interesting, but I think that would be my first look. If I can get something done there, if he's going to leave Columbus, that's something that I think I would really look into.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they're still looking at it. You mentioned Sweeney's not afraid to pull a big deal, and Neely likes to do them as well. And then they got to be looking at it too, saying, hey, as far as having Bergeron and Chara around and even maybe Tuukka, you know, the window's closing a bit. I mean, yes, our future's bright. We've stacked up our system, but let's use part of that system, like you're saying, to maybe go out and get another guy now that can put us over the hump and maybe get one more cup. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Another one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, another one that sticks out to me too. I forgot about this. This is probably my favorite deal actually. That I thought, if the Panarin thing can't work, if LA might eat some of that Kovalchuk contract, I think Kovey can still score and play on a Bruins team with a David Krejci that can feed it to him. Yeah. I think that might be another guy that you can look at.
And remember, the Bruins are in the running. Like, they were like top three or something to sign him over the summer.
Yeah,
there's already some.
Well, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one there, too. I'd keep an eye, too, on the kid. If Carolina tanks and they go the other way, which I'm not so sure they will, we'll see. But keep an eye on that Michael Ferland, too, Savvy. He's an unrestricted.
Yeah, that's a nice pickup.
Pretty young, you know. He's kind of like a DeBrus type. I like it. He's a big body. You can help him out. He can play a lot of different situations. So, see what's up. Listen, Savvy, we look forward to seeing you on Sportsnet and Hockey Central and ice surfing. And next time you're in Boston, pints on me, buddy, okay?
Okay, nice catching up. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
All right, that's Mark Savard, former Boston Bruin, joining us here on the Bruins Beat. I'm Jimmy Murphy here on CLNS Media. We'll talk to you next week.
There are nights when I think that South Paradise was right.